All right, let us bow our heads and pray over the preaching moment. We will make it brief. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, bless the preaching moment in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot of long praying. Sometimes you can just pray and get right to it. So let's get our Bibles in our hands. Yes, and let's repeat this together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. Amen. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Come on and do this with a loud voice. Father God, feed me your word. Come on, you know how we do. Make some noise this morning. Amen. I will like to pause and say, don't assume that the preaching moment is the only reason why you come to the house of God. The moment you pull up on the parking lot until the moment you leave, there is always an opportunity for God to do something amazing. Sometimes it comes through the word. Sometimes it comes through the praise. Sometimes it comes through the fellowship before and after. And sometimes it comes through all of it. But whenever you get here, always expect that God is going to do something for you. May not always see it right away, but God is always working on your behalf. Amen. All right, we're going to do a little bit of recap from last week. We're going to start calling this the Anyway series. So last week, we talked about obey anyway. And I want to add something to this before we get to what we're talking about today. I want to add a verse, Isaiah 1, 18 through 19. I'm going to read that from the New International Version. It says, come now, let us settle the matter. King James says, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. This suit that I'm wearing, it is a deep burgundy or a crimson. And what God was telling me, if you look at Isaiah, he was very frustrated with them, not the people out there. He was frustrated with the people who were doing church, quote unquote. And finally, as he told them all the things he had issues with them, he finally said to them, just come back to me, reason with me. And even though you have this deep, dark stain, I'll make you white as snow. And then his next promise is quite important. Let's look at verse 19. It says this, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. So the promise is, not only will I clean you up, but if you will walk with a level of obedience, you're going to eat the good things of the land. And so I want to add that to last week's message, obey anyway. When you're in the idea of obeying anyway, you need to expect to eat and to reap and to harvest the good of the land. Or like we sang, the goodness of the Lord. There's a scripture that says the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, I need God's goodness while I'm yet living. Not when I get to heaven, I need it right now. I need some cake on my plate while I wait. Not just pie in the sky in the sweet by and by. I need some stuff right now. Now, having said all of that, I want to tell you where we're going today by dropping this clue on you, and here it is, put it up for us. Obedience often brings obstacles and opposition before it brings opportunity. I need you to understand that even though obedience would put you in line to reap the good of the land, it often brings obstacles first and opposition before you ever get to opportunity. So when you make up in your mind to obey anyway, you are knowing there's going to be a reward for your obedience. But I got to let you know that many times it is not straight obedience, then opportunity and reward. Many times there's something in between, and it's called attack. It's called devastation. It's called anxiety. It's called depression. It's called grief. It's called addiction. It's called everything but the kitchen sink. It sometimes your obeying God is the very thing that schedules the troubles in your life. So that leads me to today's title. And would you put it on up there this morning? And here it is, advance anyway. So I need you to obey anyway. And now that you know you're going to obey, and now that you know obstacles are going to come and opposition is going to come and opportunity is somewhere down there, I need you to make up in your mind, I'm going to advance anyway. In other words, what I'm saying, don't allow the attack to stall you and to stop you. You got to make up in your mind, I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to advance anyway. I'm going to advance even when it hurts. I'm still going to get promoted with them lying on me, with them talking about me, with the job acting funny. I'm still going to be what God says I'm going to be. My family may not like me, but I like David. I'm still anointed king. Even though they skip over me, I'm going to advance anyway. Like Joseph, they may sell me into slavery, but I'll end up in the palace anyway. I'm going to advance anyway. I'm not so dull that I don't know opposition is going to come. I'm wise enough to know it's going to come, but I'm moving forward anyway. I'm going to pray anyway. I'm going to serve anyway. I'm going to praise anyway. I'm going to push anyway. I'm going anyway. I've come to this place in my life where I'm planning to thrive anyway. All right. So having said that, let's give us some scripture for this. Matthew 11 and 12, English Standard Version. I'm going to continue to read these and then we'll turn it over to Mother Mitchell. But it says this from the 12th verse of the 11th chapter. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. And then it says, and the violent take it by force. In other words, there is an attack on anything that is kingdom-minded, anything that is kingdom-breathing, anything that is kingdom-thinking, there's an automatic attack on it. But the Bible says it suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. I want to give you another version in the New Living Translation because I like how it says it there. I'm going to read this as well. Go ahead and put it up for them. It says this, and from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and violent people are attacking it. But even though there is an attack, it is yet advancing. But I like the adjective that it added. It said it is, that's an adverb. It is forcefully advancing. In other words, I know there is an attack, but I done got so bowed in my life that I'm going to meet your attack with my own pressure. I was thinking, how could I describe this? And it reminded me of something I remember doing years ago and even doing as an adult. But in the days of the merry-go-round, when the merry-go-round is already spinning and you want to jump aboard, you can't play around with it. If you just try to step on, you're going to break your leg. You're going to break your ankle. You're going to bust your lip. So if you're going to jump in, you got to jump in, grab on so you can take the ride. The kingdom is advancing. If you think you're going to get aboard playing around, no, baby, you got to jump on in that thing. It reminds me of another story. I didn't think about this as I was preparing it, but I'm thinking about it right now. In Elgin, Maine, years ago, remember my cousins were double dutching. And boy, they was jamming. And I wanted a piece of the action. Sister Frances, I want a piece of the action. And they told me, you got a timer, right? Don't worry about that. I know what I'm doing. Baby, I jumped in, and the next thing I know, my lip was on the concrete. I went face first, bust everything. because I really didn't know how to jump in right. If you're going to jump in, you can't play with it. You got to time it right. You got to be on it. And since the kingdom is advancing, and it's advancing forcefully, I can't sleep my way through my Christianity. I can't play my way through my Christianity. I got to jump in. I got to grab hold. And I got to move when the thing is moving. All aboard. That means everybody get on board. Get to your seat. Do what you got to do and move. All right. So we were going to advance anyway. Even though it's hard, you're going to advance anyway. Let's give us a definition of advance. Appreciate y'all helping me this morning. To move forward in a purposeful way. In other words, not just aimlessly, but I'm moving forward with purpose. I like when I talk to some of y'all outside of the building. I'm going to use Sister Teresa for an example. For the last several years, she has been laying her life out with a purpose. If you were to talk to her, she knows where she is on her schedule because she's not just going willy-nilly through life. She has a purpose. Some of us, we just want God to move and do everything, but we won't move with a purpose. Why are you doing it? When are you doing it? How are you doing it? Well, Pastor Andre, I'm thinking about building a house. Well, how much research have you done? You don't just show up and the house gets built. You have to have purpose. And sometimes for you to get your reward, you got to plan in 2010 for rewards you're going to get in 2025. You got to have purpose. And so advance means to move forward in a purposeful way. Let's give us another one. Advance is to make or cause to make progress. In other words, you just can't be standing still. There has to be some progress. When you interact with people, I'll give it to you like this. If you're old enough to go to class reunions, high school class reunions. So last year was my 30th year out of high school. And the problem with that is you will see people who've advanced, and you'll see people who've stayed the same. It will shock you the amount of people that you think you ain't changed at all. It's one thing to be a fool as a junior in high school. It's another thing to be a fool at 65 years old. You mean you haven't made any progress? You haven't made any advancement? When you were a junior in high school, all you wanted was to have 5 girlfriends and talk about all the girls you had. But now you're 65 and you still trying to juggle 5 girlfriends. Something wrong with you. You got to make some progress. You can't stay stuck on stupid all your life. Some of your lives are like a skipping record that every time it comes around, every year you hear, whoosh, 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 whoosh. You're not making any sense because you're stuck in a rut. But I want to be a person that every time you look at me, I'm doing something different. Where he at now? Where he going now? What he doing? I might be in Cancun this week. I might be in Gambia the next week. I might be driving something different tomorrow. It don't make a difference. I'm always going to be progressing because I'm moving with purpose. And I've learned that what God has for me, it is for me. But it's hard for me to access it if I'm just going to stay still. I got to get after it. I got to move. I got to do. Now, guess what? I don't always like doing all that. As I was going to Cancun on last week, I asked my wife, I said, are you packing your laptop? Because I think I'm packing mine because both of us are in school at the same time. And even though the kids are on spring break, our school not on spring break. So even though I was kicking up and relaxing, I still had to make provisions to do the work that I need to do to achieve the goals that I want to achieve. If you don't have any goals, don't do nothing. Sit on the beach and get drunk and just be acting stupid. But if you got goals and you're trying to progress, you got to prioritize your life around the progress. Sometimes you got to learn how to multitask. I got to learn how to shop and save at the same time. I can't just shop and shop till I drop. I got to learn how to shop and save. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to eat before I go to the grocery store. Because whenever I shop hungry, I buy stuff I know I don't need. So I got to be strategic about what I do. Whatever it is in your life, if you're going to advance, you have to advance with a strategy. So here's the overall premise before we go ahead and teach it out. Here's the overall premise, and it's a Latin term that many of you heard before. It is carpe diem, which means seize the day. Grab the day. Actually, when you look at it, carpe actually means to pluck out of the day. In other words, grab the most out of the day that you can. Do whatever you can to get the most out of it. There's nothing wrong with being on TikTok, but after the third hour scrolling, get up and do something. Maybe it's a possibility, instead of watching their videos, you can make a video yourself. Maybe you can do something. So seize the day. Seize the moment, even though the attack is coming. Even though the attack is here, I'm still going to go forward. I know it's going to hurt, but I'm going to go forward anyhow. Excuse my French. I know it sucks, but I'm going to do it anyhow. You know, life can be hard. Divorce stinks, and losing loved ones stinks, and having people that you were close to lying on you stinks, but you can't stop. You got to keep moving forward. When you get lied on, you still got bills to pay. So you got to keep moving forward. You got to sometimes put on a happy face. And I said it last week. Sometimes you got to suck it up, buttercup, and keep on moving forward. Amen. One thing that bothers me about this newer generation, they let everything throw them off. Amen. I mean, just the littlest thing. And they missed 3-4 days of work. What was going on? Well, my teddy bear lost an eye. What's sweetheart, that threw you off that bad? You got to learn how to pull yourself together. And Deliverance Temple, we done been through hell, but we keep moving forward. We keep advancing. We keep putting our hand to the plow, because we know if we quit, it'll never be any good. So we have to advance. We have to seize the day. We have to seize the moment. We have to make every opportunity to study, to learn, to grow, to fast, to change, to advance. Whatever it is, whatever it means to you, we have to do it. All right, let's go ahead and lay this out even further. 4 ways to advance anyway. Many ways, but I'm going to give us just 4 ways to advance anyway. They will all start with the letter A. But I'm going to give us just a little twist, and here's the reason why. Go ahead and put it up. Last month is Black History Month. Many people forget that March is actually Women's History Month. And so what I'm going to do for moving forward, every person that we talk about is going to be a woman from Scripture. It's going to be a woman in the Scripture. And so it's going to touch all of us, but I want to use the women in the Scripture today. So we're going to start off with number one. Number one is asking. Somebody say asking. So many times the way you advance, many times, is you just got to ask. Amen. There is an old saying, and it's a biblical saying. It says, you have not because you ask not. Let me say something about me that I'm trying to learn and I'm trying to grow from. But I don't know when it got built up in me, but I really don't like to ask. It's really a part of my own pride. But another issue I learned about myself, I hate rejection. So in order to avoid rejection, just don't ask. But when you don't ask, a lot of times you don't get. I put up with stuff that I didn't have to put up with because I didn't ask. Learned that from my sister as well, my sister Kelly, who happens to be here today. We would go to restaurants and my steak would not be necessarily cooked right. But it's okay. I don't want to ask. I don't want to bother them. I don't know what they're going to do in the back. So let me just leave it alone. But I learned through my sister, when stuff wasn't right, she'd ask. Can I see the manager? Kelly got all kinds of stuff taken care of. Just because she would open her mouth. If they mess up on her flight, she'll come back with 2 free flights. She'll find a way, but she would open her mouth. Sometimes we have not because we won't ask. What would hurt? I've learned this as I've gotten older. There's only 2 options. Either they're going to say yes or no. There's a 50% chance they're going to say yes. So just ask. But also when it comes to God, sometimes we forget to ask. because we know us better than anybody else knows us. So if we're struggling with a secret sin, sometimes we don't want to ask God for stuff because, I've been tripping a little. He knew you was tripping. Ask him anyhow. Just ask. The scripture says, ask in my name. So let's give us an example. This is a parable that Jesus told. It's in Luke 18. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. I'll stop you periodically, but Mother Mitchell, go ahead and roll.
One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up.
They should always pray and never do what?
Give up.
Give up. So this is what this story, this parable is about, the persistence and the tenacity that it takes to actually advance. Many times we think we're going to advance with the first time, but many times there are several no's before you ever get a yes. If you talk to any of these people who are very successful, wildly successful, if you hear their story, there are so many no's before they got their big break and their big yes. But many of us, we allow the no's to deter us. We allow the obstacles and the opposition and the attacks to stop us. But sometimes in order to advance, you have to pray and never give up. There's some stuff you've been praying for that you still have never seen, and the scripture says keep on praying. Well, obviously God ain't gonna do it, because if he was gonna do it, he would have done it by now. But one thing I've learned is that God does stuff when he wants, not when you want. So what you can't do is stop praying in the process. You have to keep on asking. Let's continue.
There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people.
Didn't fear God or care about people, number three.
A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy.
Give me justice, verse four.
The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people.
I want to go back to that just for a moment. It says the judge ignored her for a while. Sometimes you do get ignored even when you ask. But will you take that and be like me, the weak side of me, who's afraid of rejection? Do you know there are some men who are married to women way out of their league, but they wore that woman down. After the 1,000th good morning text, the woman said, he is kind of cute. It is something about it. But he was persistent. He was tenacious. He wouldn't let a whole lot of space come around. Flowers in the morning, flowers in the afternoon, text here and text there. It's something about a woman when you get swept off your feet. Sometimes you forget that the brother is ugly. I forgot. I didn't even know he was so good to me. He talked to me so much. He stayed in my ear so long. I begin to see the goodness about him. He just wore me down. Sometimes we got to be willing to stick in this thing for a while and just wear it down. I'm like Jacob with God. I'm not letting go till you bless me. I may have to wrestle all night long, but you're going to give me a blessing. I know you're going to bless T.D. Jakes, and I know you're going to bless Stephen Furtick, but God, you got to bless Pastor Andre Mitchell too. I'm not going to give up till you bless me. I'm not going to stop till you bless me. I'm not going to quit till you bless me. I'm going to hold on and be tenacious in it. All right, and so he says, I ignored her for a while because I don't fear God or care about people. And sometimes that's what the problem, you're dealing with people who don't care about people. Verse 5.
But this woman is driving me crazy.
I like the way this version says it, driving me crazy. Read.
I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests.
I'm not doing it because I like her. I'm not doing it because I care about her justice, but she's wearing me out with her tenacity. She won't quit. She won't stop. She won't let it up. She just keeps on coming after me. And I need to have a few folk that'll say, I'm just going to ask and ask and ask until I advance. See, when we are confessing over the offering, that is purposeful. Many times, many of you have given in the offering and you've confessed every Sunday and you're still broke. But what we're doing, we're putting something in the atmosphere because I can't stay broke forever. I can't struggle forever. I can't hurt forever. So what I'm doing, I'm pushing till there becomes a tipping point where things will tip in my favor. Things will turn in my favor. So I can't quit. I can't stop. I've seen some of y'all that should not be smiling, yet you're still smiling. It's one thing to smile in the church, but I've caught y'all outside of here laughing and smiling and know you're struggling. But what you're saying is, I will not quit. I will not stop until I get what I believe God has for me. I'm so tenacious and I'm so stubborn with it that God got to bless me. He's got to bless Deliverance Temple. He's got to open up a window. He's got to open up a door because I won't let up. One thing I loved about my father, he was very stubborn. Once he locked onto something, you couldn't get him off of it. And it can be a negative thing, but it can be a very positive thing. You just got to keep on asking. All right, let's move on further. Verse 6.
Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge.
I want you to learn a lesson. Jesus said, I'm actually teaching something. Verse 7.
Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off?
Jesus said, I want you to learn something about your God. This man didn't have any care for people or God. But God, who loves you, he said he will look after you. But it says, I need you to cry out day and night. Now, I don't understand this, because if you're God, why do I got to keep crying out day and night? Why don't you just snap your finger and make it happen? The only thing that I've learned is sometimes when he snaps his finger and makes things happen, we don't always appreciate it. Sometimes when you go through the struggle and you go through the process and you got rug burns on your knees because you prayed all night long, you appreciate what you got when you get it. See, when I go on spring break, I'm not going on spring break just to have a vacation. I'm going on spring break because the very kids that I'm going with, the family that I'm going with, it took us 8 years to have the babies. And it was miscarriages. There was tears. There was crying. I remember sitting in the emergency room and them telling us that we've lost another baby. That hurt. But now, for 17 years, I've been a daddy and I'm taking every opportunity because I appreciate the fact that God, you brought it to pass. When it looked like it wasn't going to work, you brought it to pass. When it looked like my prayers weren't being answered, you brought it to pass. Now let me say this. I have had kids longer than I was without the kids. And here's the problem is when you've had the blessing for a while, it's easy to take the blessing for granted. But I'm reminded of the tears. I'm reminded of the pain. I'm reminded of how y'all prayed with us. I'm reminded of how y'all rallied around us. So I take it and I appreciate it. So sometimes you're going to have to cry day and night, but when you get it, you will appreciate it. All right, verse number 8.
I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith?
Oh, I won't even deal with that part because I got to move on. But it says he will grant justice to them quickly. But if I got to do it day and night, that don't mean it's quick. But what it means is that you can speed up the process. In other words, many times, and we're early enough in the year to understand this, many of the times we get excited until we're no longer excited. I'm excited about working out January 1, January 30. But by February 14, 15, I done forgot. Same thing with our prayer pattern. I was praying for it. I was fasting for it, but I done forgot about it. So many times us doing it day and night, it keeps it in not keeping it in God's mind, it keeps it in our own mind. There is a beauty in routine and discipline. Oh, man, I wish I could preach that a little better. I can't preach a little better because I struggle with it myself. Planet Fitness is just taking my money because I ain't been through the door in a long time. I'm going to get back right, but I got to remind myself. Sometimes you just get stuck in a routine and a rut that you need a break from. And many times having and being forced to do something every day, every night, it actually helps. All right. Let's move on to this, number two. So we go from asking to advocating. Basically, what you're doing, you are advocating for yourself. When I use Sister Kelly as an example, basically what she's doing, she was advocating. If I'm going to pay the price of a $54 steak, you can't just send it back to me any kind of way. I'm advocating for myself. And those of us who tend to be a little timid, we miss the opportunity that people will take advantage of you if you don't speak up for yourself. And many times God will allow what you will allow. And so many times you got to advocate for yourself, especially in this new season with this new administration, with all kinds of things going on. You're going to have to open up your mouth and you're going to have to speak for yourself and you're going to have to advocate for yourself. You're going to have to ask God, but you're also going to have to ask people. And, oh, well, you know, I don't want to be a bother. Sometimes you need to be a bother. One thing I've learned in my 27 years at General Motors, if you're a good worker, they'll take advantage of you. Because the lazy ones, I don't feel like being bothered with the lazy ones, so let's get Andre to do it. And there's a person, he happens to be in a high position in my job, who wanted me to do something that was not my job. And normally I would do it because it wasn't going to hurt me to help out, but I know how they function. Here's the thing, they cut a job. And when you cut a job, you're telling me you don't need the job done. So they cut a job and combined it and makes one person do two jobs. But then they came up with this idea when this person who's doing two jobs now goes and does that job, the second job, how about Andre come and cover the first job? It wasn't going to hurt me to do it, but I said, call me the committee man. Because when you cut the job, you say it can be done by one person. So if I go in there and help you, I'm helping you cut a person. So no, I'm not going to do it, even though I have time to do it. And even though I know how to do it, I'm advocating for myself. Because if I do it today, you'll want it done tomorrow. If I do it tomorrow, you'll want it done the next day. And then the next thing you know, it'll be written into the job description. Do you know how the job descriptions will change over time? When I hired on, this wasn't in the job description, but if you do it long enough and you let them take advantage of you long enough, they'll just move it right on into the system. So you got to stand up and advocate for yourself. Amen. Let's give a scripture of some women. So the woman with the unjust judge, many Bible scholars know that. Here's one that many Bible scholars may not know. These are the daughters of Zelophehad. Let's look at Numbers 27:1.
The daughters of Zelophehad, son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, belonged to the clans of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The names of the daughters were Mahla, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. They came forward.
Read them big words, mother. Come on, tear them words up. Get it, Mother Mitchell. You notice I didn't read those myself. I made sure she did those. Yes, sir. Verse number two. So basically these are five daughters, verse two.
And stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders, and the whole assembly at the entrance to the tent of meeting, and said.
So they got up and they stood in front of everybody. They had something they needed to say. Verse three.
Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among Korah's followers who banded together against the Lord, but he died for his own sin and left no son.
So there was Korah, they had a rebellion, the earth opened up and swallowed them up, and these daughters said, our father died too, but he didn't die in the rebellion. He wasn't one of them. He died of his own sins, the sin of unbelief that many of them died with, but he didn't leave any sons. He had daughters only. So Let's read verse 4.
Why should our father's name disappear from his clan because he had no son? Give us property among our father's relatives.
It didn't say if you perhaps think, if you could see it in your mind, if it's not too much of an issue for you. No, they said, give us some property. But you have to understand, in this context of the Bible, they were giving out the property as they were moving toward the promised land. And so every clan was getting property according to their clan. The only people that did not get property were the Levites, because God said, I'm going to take care of the Levites. So they were right to want something because they were getting skipped over only because they were women. They were not men. They were daughters, and they were not sons. And so they said, give us property. Verse 5.
So Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord said to him.
Now, this is what I want to point out. Moses brought the case before the Lord. If you remember anything about Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, he told him the way he was handling things was too much. He said, you're going to have under judges that would deal with stuff, and only the high cases come to me. So these daughters have gone through all the proper channels, and now they have reached Moses, and Moses didn't have an answer for them. So it means that God had not revealed to Moses or any of the people below Moses what should be done for the daughters. So that means that the daughters had to keep on trying, keep on pushing, keep on advocating. That means they before they got to Moses, they probably had a few, I don't know, I wonder, I'm not sure, probably not. Have you ever had somebody try to talk you out of something based on just some hearsay? I remember when I got hired at General Motors, when I finally got on, we were in our 90 days, and we got laid off in the middle of our 90 days. And so I end up having to work at another job. And so I was at that other job for, I think, 3 weeks. The second week I was there, this lady comes by me and she said, where'd you come from? I said, well, I just got hired on General Motors. She said, you know they're not bringing y'all back. She said, my brother-in-law's cousin, he didn't get brought back. And, you know, I'm already defeated. But then I got thinking, what does she know? She may know, she may not know. But I made up in my mind, I don't know where I'm going to be, but I ain't going to be here. Because I didn't like the job that I was in the process. I was doing what I had to do at the time. But I said, I'm not going to let this person I don't know talk me out of what God may be doing for me. Now, 27 years later, I've been at General Motors. I don't know who she is, don't know where she is. But her brother-in-law's cousin was W-R-O-N-G, was wrong. Don't let people talk you out of the blessing God has for you, because sometimes, folk, all they have is just talk. Here's the thing. She wanted the job, so she tried to talk me out of. I don't even know you. We don't even know each other. You know they're not bringing you back. You walked off of your machine to come over here and give me some bad news. Listen, I don't want to hear no bad news from nobody trying to talk me out of advocating for myself. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to ask them for a raise. Well, you know what? I wouldn't do it if I was you. Well, you ain't me. I'm advocating for myself. It's 2025, and I don't know what's going to happen. If I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out on the top. I feel a 50-cent anointing. I'm about to get rich or die trying. I'm going to be anointed or die trying. I'm going to get healed or die trying. I'm going to have a good marriage or die trying. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to advance. I'm going to ask, and I'm going to advocate for myself. All right, let's look at the last verse, wrap this part up.
What Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right.
This is what God told Moses.
You must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives and give their father's inheritance to them.
Now, this is what's interesting to me. God knew their request was right the moment they requested it. But God didn't show any of the men that were around, because sometimes men can be dull, we can be slow. So God didn't show them the answer
until the women advocated for themselves. I don't know how many times they had to keep talking to someone. Have you ever wanted to deal with something? You call customer service and you done talked to 7 folk before you get to who you want to talk to. They done transfer you and put you on hold. But once you want what you want, you just stick with it. Well, I can't do it. Well, get me somebody that can. Get me your manager. Well, I am the manager. Well, get me your manager's man. Find me somebody, because I'm advocating for myself and I'm not letting go. Somebody going to do what I believe is right. And here's the thing. When you have it down in your spirit that this belongs to me, you will fight for it until you get it. Advance anyway. So we have asking, and now we have advocating. And now we're going to switch to number 3, this is announcing. I think I heard it said when I was in the back. It says, that let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There comes a certain point in your life that you begin to announce. Not only am I asking and advocating, but I believe it so much that I'm announcing. See, why are you praising so loud? Did things turn around? No, it didn't turn around yet. But I'm announcing that I believe it still will. I got a feeling that everything gonna be all right. It may not be all right, but I have a feeling. So I'm announcing based on my feeling. I'm talking about it ahead of time. I'm speaking big. I'm talking big. I'm dreaming big. I'm hoping big. I'm putting it in my mouth. I'm announcing that this will be the brokest you'll ever see me. This will be the sickest you'll ever see me. This will be the last time you see me cry. I'm announcing it because I'm trying to advance. And people who are in advancing mode, they start putting it on their mouth. What's going on? If you get around the wrong person, you ask them how they're doing, they'll tell you about the dreams they got for 2028. They begin to announce. You got to learn how to open up your mouth and announce that God is good to me. God is on my side. God is for me. I believe this is turning around. Now, let me share this. When you announce, sometimes it doesn't line up to what you say. And you always have somebody running back to you. I remember going back to this example that I had. I remember I had a cousin who was kind of laughing at me because I heard that they said, because you know how church folk are messy, so she said it to somebody else and it got back to me. She said that when he got the job at General Motors, he got up and testified. But when he got laid off, he didn't say nothing. He was hush mouth when he didn't. It's funny how people are so worried about your blessing. So worried about how you handle your stuff. So when the layoff was over and I was back, I made sure to find that cousin and let him know, I'm back. Oh, I've been praying for you. Yeah, I know you've been praying for me with your running your mouth. Sometimes you got to announce to your enemy, I'm still here. Devil, I'm still here. I got divorced, but I'm still here. I lost my mind, but I'm still here. Lost my job, but I'm still here. Car got repossessed, but I'm still here. But hey, guess what? Look at the new car. Look at the new marriage. Look at the new job. I'm announcing I'm still here. All right, let's move to John 4. And I wish I could give all the context of this, but this is a very familiar woman. This is the woman at the well. And so we're jumping all the way toward the end of the woman at the well. Let's look at John 4, 28.
So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people.
Now this is so powerful, because if you know anything about the story with the woman at the well, because of her past, she made sure she went to the well where nobody would be around. Because she was tired of being shamed. She was tired of people looking at her and pointing at her. She was tired. Here's the thing. You can go through something so public that it's hard to be private. And you see people looking at you. You can be in the grocery store and you can see people whispering at you, even though they may not be necessarily whispering at you, but it feels like all eyes are on you. When you blow it big or the devil gets the upper hand on you, you don't want to come outside. You don't want to be seen. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to go to the park. You don't want to go to the gym, because I talked it and it didn't come to pass. I invited everybody to my wedding and now I'm divorced. Guess what? You got to get up anyhow. You got to realize life be lifing sometimes. Stuff just happens. And yeah, maybe you could have done better. Maybe you could have adjusted. But I'm here now. And I can't keep walking around under this cloud of shame. I got to put a smile on my face. I got to hold my head up high. I got to announce, I don't know when, but God going to come through for me. Don't cry for me, baby. Don't laugh at me. Because God is yet on my side. And he's yet in the delivering business. He's yet in the miracle working business. He's yet a way maker. He's yet a promise keeper. So I'm going to keep on announcing. Announcing through the pain. Announcing through the tears. One of the great things that I have, even though it can be difficult, one of the great things that I get is I get to preach almost every Sunday. And so I get to get up here and announce what thus says the Lord. Whether I'm hurting, whether I'm depressed, no matter what's going on. But I've learned this is my chance to get my lick back. So when I get up here, I don't get up here, saints, you know I've been going through. Pray for me that I can get this little word out. No, I ain't got no little word. I got a fiery word. I'm ready to preach it. Situation hasn't changed, but while I'm up here with the mic in my hand, I'm throwing them haymakers at the devil. I'm announcing to the devil, I'm still here. I'm still gonna make it. I'm still connecting with my creator continually. I'm still confessing my deliverance consistently. I'm still committing to serve creatively, and I'm still communicating Christ's love compassionately. Devil, if you could have took me out, you would have took me out. So I announce that I am everything that God says that I am. So this woman, she came to the well so she can sneak in and sneak out, but she bumped into Jesus. And Jesus revolutionized her life and told her, I'm going to give you living water, because he said there's coming a day that those that worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. He taught her a full lesson. And then she left, and instead of wanting to be secret, she said, I'm about to go to the people. I don't care about my past, because I bumped into the man that can do something about my past. Once you bump into Jesus, you ain't got to worry about who you used to be and who you were. It's about who I'm going to be and what I can become. So she went into the town, and let's look at the next verse. What did she say?
Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?
She ended up being an evangelist. The girl with the shaky past, the girl with the issues in her stuff, the girl with the junk in her trunk, the girl with the skeletons in her closet. She went into the town and said, come see a man. I think he the one. I think he the one we've been waiting on. I think he the one we've been talking about. And I need some of y'all to announce to the world, I believe God is still who he says he is. I believe he's still the friend to the friendless. I believe he's still Alpha and Omega. I believe he's still the bright and morning star. I believe he's still the resurrected Savior. I believe he's still the miracle worker. And if you talk to me long enough, I'm going to talk to you about what God has done for me. But I don't want to do it by myself. That's why I say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Let's announce it together that God is strong. Let's announce it together that God is big. Let us announce it together that if God be for us, who can be against it? Let's put it on our mouth and announce. So the asking advances, the advocating advances, and the announcing advances. Let's go on to number four. Here we go, attaching. This is going to give us another famous woman in the Bible, a woman that many of you have heard about. So we got through all these other, what does this attaching mean? Let's look at Mark 5:25, jumping into the later part of the story.
A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding.
There was a woman, I preached this years ago and called it 12 years a slave. Sometimes you've been bound for a long time. Sometimes you've been struggling for a long time. The scripture says she had been struggling for a long time and lost all she had. Been working on it a long time, but she had an attachment spirit. Let's look at verse 26.
She had suffered a great deal from many doctors.
A great deal. Because here's the thing. Doctors are practicing medicine. And sometimes they don't know. They're guessing and practicing. And one doctor will diagnose you one way. Another doctor will diagnose you another way. Give you one medicine, give you another medicine. And many times the problem still going to get fixed. And all you're doing is suffering in the process. Let's keep on reading.
And over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them.
This is before insurance. And even in the day of insurance, you can go broke just because you got sick. Read some more of that verse.
But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse.
The one thing that's troublesome is to have something in the first year. But in the 12th year, I'm worse than I was in the first year. And I'm broker, and I've been around all these doctors, and ain't nothing getting any better. Let's look at verse 27.
She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his
robe. Hold on. She heard about the Savior. She heard about the Master. See, that connects to what we said before. The reason why we announce is because there's somebody suffering that needs to hear that God can make a difference. And so when Jesus was doing what he was doing in the other places, she heard that he was coming to town. And she made up in her mind, I'm going to grab him. If you know anything about her issue of blood in the Leviticus law, she was not supposed to be out while you were in your menstrual flow. You were not supposed to be amongst the people. So she took a chance. Let's read the next verse, verse 28.
For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed.
If I went King James, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. But the Bible says she thought to herself. In other words, she didn't worry about what Jesus told me or God told me or the pastor told me. She advocated for herself. In her own mind, she said, maybe if I would just attach myself to this master and grab the master at the hem of his garment. Those of you who know anything about a prayer shawl, you'll see blue and white prayer shawls that people wear. They have these tassels that hang down from the shawl. That's what Jesus, being a rabbi, that's what he was wearing. And in Malachi, the scripture says that when the Son of Man comes, he will come with healing in his wings or healing in his tassels. So she was reminded of a word that she heard, that God can change and make a difference. So she said within herself, if I can just get attached to the difference maker. I like being attached to Lady Devon, and I like being attached to Pastor Andre, and I like being attached to Elect Lady, but I need something better than that. I need to be touching the master. I need to attach myself to the master, and I believe I'm going to get healed. Let's look at the next verse, verse 29.
Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition.
Immediately. Some of y'all need an immediately. You've been in it a long time. But if you attach and touch the right thing at the right time, I believe some of y'all are going to get some immediately. There's going to be some testimonies that, Pastor, it changed immediately. I didn't have to wait a long time. I've already waited long enough. Guess what? 12 years is already a long time. But immediately her situation changed because she touched and attached herself to the right person. All right, let's look at verses 30, 31.
Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, Who touched my
robe? Who attached themselves to me? Because like carpe diem, you pluck something out of me that I didn't even release yet. You, through your faith, you grab something that I had not yet offered. And we got to get to a place that I'm going to advance and I'm about to grab something from God. He ain't even got to be giving it to me. And if you know anything about the story, Jesus was not going for the woman. He was going to heal Jairus' daughter, but she grab something anyhow. Jesus, you may be passing me by, but I'm going to attach myself because I need it, I want it, and I'm going to get it. 31.
His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?
Man, it's everybody's around you. What do you mean who touched me? Read some more.
But he kept on looking around to see who had done it.
Next two verses.
Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done.
All right, next verse. This is the important.
And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over.
I like the ending of that. I feel like God wants me to announce to somebody in this house, your suffering is over. Oh, I feel it in my spirit. I need to say it again. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I need to say it again. Your suffering is over. And it's not because of his power, but it's because of your faith. You grabbed and attached at the right time. And let me say it a third time, your suffering is over. Woo! Oh, that'll make somebody shout right there. If you're at home and you're watching online, you might want to shout right where you are. Your suffering is over. Whenever I hear that, I reminded years ago, 2000. It was the NBA All-Star 2000, and Vince Carter was in the dunk contest. And Vince did a dunk that nobody had ever seen before. He walked and he turned to the camera and he said, it's over. In other words, it was a lot left to go in the contest, but he was announcing to everybody, I didn't already won this thing. It's over. It just so happened at the same time he was saying that, Kenny Smith was on the broadcast saying the same thing. It's over. Well, let me look at the devil and look him square in his face and let him know, it's over. All the trouble you put me through, it's over. All the depression I had, it's over. The suffering is over because I've attached myself to the right one. And guess what? I'm advancing anyway. No matter what you do. Here's a conclusion. As we conclude, once again, this is Women's History Month, so I've given you several women to look through, but let's give us these two major takeaways. Here's number one. This is something you can take with you. Advancement is not always up to God. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this in a fill in the blank type of way. The next two, advancement is not always up to God. Many times it is left up to us because faith without works is yeah. So we're going to do something because we're not just waiting on God and God waiting on us. We're about to use our faith and put some work and some action behind our faith. What if the woman said, I believe if I touch his garment, I'll be healed. But since I can't go outside, I'm going to stay here and see if he come knock on my door. God, if you want me to heal, let Jesus knock on my door. Now, so listen, I've been struggling 12 years. I ain't got time for no chances. I'm getting out there and I'm taking a risk and using my faith. Here we go. Here's the next one. Another fill in the bank. Sometimes if you tolerate it, God will allow it. Because if you draw nigh to God, he will. In other words, God says, you take the step, then I'll take the step. As long as you can tolerate being broke, I'll let you be broke. But once you want to step out of the poverty mindset, I'll step to you and I'll turn the thing around. So it's up to you many times.
So stand to our feet. Here's our confession. As we close, we're going to advance anyway, saints. Repeat this after me. Father, help me to advance. I will ask of you, advocate for myself and others, announce your goodness, and stay attached to you in Jesus' name. Let's do it again. Father, help me to advance anyway, anyway, anyhow. I will ask of you, advocate for myself and others, announce your goodness, and stay attached to you in Jesus' name. Now let the people say, amen. Come on, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, you're going to help us to advance anyway. As we choose to obey anyway, opposition and obstacles are going to come. But we hear your word, the suffering is over. And so we're going to advance anyway. And God, you help us. You be the battery in our back. You be like the Energizer Bunny and get in our spirit and put no quit attitude in us. Put a tenacious attitude in us. Put an advancement attitude in us. And God, everything you do for us, we'll give you all the praise because it's the Lord's work and it's marvelous in our eyes. If you need prayer for any reason, you can come on up here. But other than that, I say God bless you. Have a great, wonderful, a prosperous week, and carpe diem.